the highest mountain. Looked all around, couldn't find nobody. Went down into the deepest valley. Looked all around down there, couldn't find nobody. I went across the deep blue sea. Couldn't find one to compare to your grace, your love, your mercy. Nobody greater than you. Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater. Nobody greater, no. Nobody greater than you. Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater. Nobody greater. Nobody greater than you. Nobody can heal like you can. Oh, most holy one, you are the great I am. Awesome in all your ways, and mighty is your hand. You are he who carried out redemption's plan. Body great, body greater, Jesus.
Nobody greater than you.
Searched all over,
searched all over.
Couldn't
find nobody. I looked high and low. Still couldn't find nobody.
Nobody great. Nobody great,
nobody greater than you.
Come on, lift those hands for real in here. Come on. Nobody greater. Nobody greater, Jesus.
Nobody greater than you.
Nobody greater. Nobody greater. Nobody greater. Now lift those hands, singers, and let's just give him the glory. Nobody greater.
Nobody greater.
Couldn't find nobody.
Nobody greater.
Nobody greater than you.
Nobody greater than you.
I dare you lift your hand and say that with us tonight. Come on. Nobody greater.
Nobody greater.
Angels bow before you. Heaven and earth adore you. Nobody.
Nobody greater.
Lord has made it, and we are rejoicing and we are glad in it. We thank God for Wednesday, amen, virtual Bible study. We believe that God is going to be glorified on tonight. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the word in advance. Move not by power, not by might, but by your spirit in the name of Jesus. So God, we magnify you and we glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. God is good all the time, and all the time our God is good. Hallelujah. Let's get right into what we want to share tonight. If you can go to 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter, we'll start looking at the life of King David. 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter, to God be all the glory. 2 Samuel chapter number 6. Thank you for your word, Lord Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. 2 Samuel chapter 6. I want to start at verse number 13. Actually, we're going to back up to verse number 12. But tonight, as I began to speak about the topic on Sunday, which was God deliver us, it was not a question. That was not my objective. My objective was more like a statement. Because how many of you know we need God to deliver us? I mean, for real, if you want real deliverance, I thank God that he's able, and not just able, he's willing, and he will do what he wants to do in and through our lives if we touch and agree with him. Amen? But 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse number 12, and it was told King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertain unto him, because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. We'll stop right there. But looking at the life of David, David was ordained and anointed king as a teenager. He was overlooked by his father and his brothers, but God had his eye on David, even though David kept the sheep. David was the leader of the flock of his father, Jesse. But God judges the heart while man judges the outward appearance. And sometimes when I'm talking about God deliver us, God had a tendency of delivering David out of some really hard and tough situations. And I believe one of the reasons God honored David, and we hear it and we read it, that David was a man after God's own heart, is because David was a praiser. Glory be to God. David was a praiser before David was king. David was a praiser before God began to raise David up. And I believe as we begin to praise God, as we begin to pray and glorify God, God will continuously deliver us in whatever area we need deliverance in. Sometimes there's a stronghold that has us in bondage and we need deliverance. It can be a bad habit. It can be a trend or something that you've gotten used to. It can be something, glory be to God, that God is not pleased with, yet we find ourselves continually going toward that thing or participating in that thing. If you had the opportunity to hear the word on Sunday, I said a statement, it was rather humorous, even as I wrote it and thought about it. But I said to the church, I asked them a question, do you know, it was in the form of a question, do you know the best way to stop doing something that you want to stop doing? And I said, the best way to stop doing something that you want to stop doing is to simply stop doing it. I still chuckle when I say it, because it sounds simple, but when we really trust the God in us, we'll be amazed at what we can walk away from. Amen. We'll be amazed at what we can control and not have it control us. So when we talk about deliverance, there's a part that we play, and then there's a part that God plays. But when you pray and when you praise, I believe God will always be in the area to deliver us whenever we need deliverance. Somebody say amen. Because we're in a world and we are in a day. You know, I'm reading a book, and I'm not going to give too much of the book away. My wife's going to read it after me, but it's a phrase in a book that the writer used, inciting incidents. And he pretty much just talked a little bit about movies and movie theaters and how they make, TV drama. And he talked about the best movies and sometimes the best television shows are those with conflict. Those with conflict. And yes, trust me, and don't misinterpret me, don't misunderstand me. Yes, we're supposed to hold our peace and let the Lord fight our battles. Certain battles are not ours, they belong to the Lord. We know the scriptures that while we should dwell with every man in peace, we understand the word of God. When he said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Be slow to anger, that's the word. He says, don't get involved with vain disputes. But as we look at the life of Jesus, as he confronted and contended with the religious leaders of his day, even the Apostle Paul, with the false apostles, had contention and conflict. There is a such thing as a healthy confrontation, a healthy conflict. We cannot avoid every conflicting issue or every situation that may bring conflict. Amen. So sometimes the Christian cannot avoid conflict just forever. We just can't. It's not possible. Amen, somebody. And I'm not talking about going initiating anything, going and starting something up. I'm not talking about, stirring something up. I'm simply saying, and Pastor Sharon Ryan said it, and it stuck with me since she said it. She told me and my wife years ago, there's something called righteous indignation. And that thing stuck with me. Because sometimes, beloved, as a Christian, and Pastor Rebecca and I talked a little bit about this in our marriage book, it's called conflict resolution. In other words, there can be a conflict within that marriage. There can be an argument within that marriage. There can be tension within that marriage, but there can be resolve. Amen, somebody. It's not about avoiding conflict and living a lie or living in denial, but conflict is not necessarily a bad thing. And sometimes God needs to deliver us in so many areas. I want us to go here to the book of John chapter number 10. John chapter number 10. Minister Jamal blessed me so mightily last night as he spoke into me and Pastor Rebecca's life. And he confirmed something that has been spoken in my life throughout the years, about the apostolic and certain things that God wants to do in and through my life in particular. But I'll never forget, God allowing me to come out of the party scene, to come out of the club scene, to come out of the bar scene. I was known as a partier. That was the term back then. I haven't been in the clubs and in the discos and the bars in so long. I don't know what they're calling it today. But back when I was dancing to the music and dancing in the wee hours of the night, you were termed as a partier. But I'll never forget being in this place, and I heard the voice of God saying, the music was loud, it was a smoke-filled room, there was alcohol everywhere, but I heard, I was in church, I was in Bible study, I was in prayer, I was going to man-to-man Bible study, I was headed toward the things of God, so I knew the voice of God. And in the midst of all this loud, natural atmosphere, the voice of God told me to get out of there and that I do not belong there anymore. Glory be to God. I'm talking about deliverance tonight. I'm talking about real deliverance. I told the church on Sunday, real deliverance means I can go around it and not be bothered by it. Oh, I don't know who that's for right there. I said real deliverance is to the place where God will get you to the place that you're so strong and so into him that you can go around it and not be bothered by it, whatever it is. If it was an addiction, if it was alcoholism, if it was a bad habit or a bad environment, you can go around it. And real deliverance says, guess what? God has delivered me from it. Glory be to God. And that's the God that we serve. I believe the reason I stay with God, the reason I'm faithful to God, I said to our church, I said, I'm sold out. He has already shown me too much. Come on, somebody. I know I got an amen on the phone line. This is why we can't forget our testimony. We cannot forget what he's already done. Once you had a real encounter and real experience with God, it's real hard to go back to what he brought you from. Yes. Glory be to God. And I really believe in my heart of hearts that many people, I mean the ones who are saved for real, say, well, Pastor, you know, Anthony, I haven't had that encounter with God. I haven't had that supernatural experience with God. Let me put your mind on rewind. If you're saved, if you're born again, if you have received God as your Lord and Savior through Jesus Christ, salvation. Let me talk about salvation for a minute. In that moment where the preacher was preaching, or you heard the call to salvation, or someone evangelized you, and you said yes to the Lord, yes to his will, yes to his way, and you accepted Jesus Christ in your heart as your Lord and your Savior, guess what? That was a God encounter. Amen. Guess what? That was a God experience that cannot be undone. Glory be to God. So it doesn't take this big boom, thunderbolts, and this big boom. Like some people, they get up and they testify and they share how they got saved or share what God is doing. And sometimes our story don't measure up. And God is saying, I'm not concerned with the dramatization of how you serve me. But if you had an encounter with me, if you had an experience with me, you know my voice. Glory be to God. I tell you, that voice told me to get out and that I don't belong there anymore. Let's look at John 10, verse number 1. John 10, verse number 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enter not by the door into the sheepfold, but climb up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that enter in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter open, and the sheep hear his voice. He call his own sheep by name, and lead them out. And when he put forth his own sheep, he go before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the stranger. Come on, somebody. I served the devil long enough to know when he's speaking to me. And I done been with God enough and long enough to know when he's speaking to me. Amen. And we have to go with the voice of God. He said he know his sheep. He called you by name. He wants to deliver you. And when God is saying turn the car around, turn the car around. When God is saying go to church, go to church. When God is saying come to Bible study and come to prayer, come to Bible study and come to prayer. When God said give, give. When God, see, glory be to God. You know, generosity, being generous, whether that's with money, whether that's with your time, whether that's with your talent, whether that's with, you know, your hospitality, generous people. My mother was a generous person. Pastor Rebecca, my mother-in-law, is very generous. When I first met my wife and saw the kind of food that my mother-in-law would cook, how she would spend money on a cookout, you know, how she would go above and beyond to have choices of food out of her own pocketbook, her own wallet. And I said, that is generous. That is generosity. And she always loved blessing other people. And I partook, guess what? I partook of those meals. And Sunday fellowship at my wife's mother's house, it was like that movie Soul Food. Amen, somebody. And there would be cakes, there would be pies, there would be ice cream, and there would be soda and desserts and all types of meals. And my mother-in-law was one of the most generous people I have ever met. But guess what? God moves her heart in that direction. Amen. Have you ever known some stingy people? When we were kids, my mother used to, did that bother her if you were stingy? Because she was a generous person. If she hit the picket, she'd give you some of her winnings. Amen. If my mother hit the lotto and she would play the lottery, she would play the pick four, the pick three, and if she would hit the number, she make sure all her children get a little piece of change. She would, you know, loan her friends money if they needed it. She would be generous and not just hoard all of her money. And some of you are like that. You're generous. You're kind. You're considerate. You're compassionate. And that's the heart of God moving you. Amen. And some people need deliverance. When you're a Christian and you're stingy or you're self-righteous or you're selfish, God is saying, I need to deliver you. Because I'm calling you to share. I'm calling you to come into fellowship. Remember in the book of Acts, the Bible said they sold all of their possessions, and the rich and the poor, and everyone in that community of believers had no needs. Because guess what? God moved the heart of the people. But y'all go and read it on your own. I think it's Acts chapter 5 and chapter 6. Because it gives an example of what not to do. Ananias and Sapphira, they deceived the Holy Spirit, and it was not a good thing. And God is saying to us, if we need deliverance in any area, I'm here, I'm available. Amen, somebody. Another thing I want to look at, because it's always a heart condition. He wants our heart. If he can get our heart, that's why, you know, the Bible said David was a man after God's own heart. That's why I began looking at the life of David. But turn to Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10. I just love going through the Word of God. I hope you have a pen and paper as we go through the Word of God. And I just go to certain verses. But if you read the entire chapter, you'll really get a good feel of what Jesus was talking about, what the prophets were writing about, what the Apostle Paul was trying to convey and get across to us, what the Bible through the Old Testament is trying to teach us. Amen, somebody. That's what Bible study is all about, learning and growing in our faith and becoming stronger and becoming more equipped to live in this time in which we are living. Because we got to be sold out. I know the devil is telling us that it don't take all that, and you know, all you need to give is God a Sunday. All you need to give is God is one day a week. All you need to do is, you know, every now and again, go to the house of God. And God is saying, I want your heart. I want you to submit. I want you to surrender. And, you know, we're in a day where sometimes I laugh because, you know, I talked on Sunday about grace and mercy. And grace is simply unmerited favor of God. Mercy is that we don't get what we deserve. And God is saying, you know, in our day of technology, somebody, if they don't like how you roll or how you're treating them, they can unfriend you. They can unfollow you, or you can unfollow them or unfriend them. Amen, somebody. We're in that day. But God loves us unconditionally. He won't unfollow us. He won't unfriend us. He'll give us all the time we need to get it right. That's the God we serve. Peter said, you know, when they said, why is your God tarrying? Things are just like they were back in the days of Noah. And Peter said, a day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. He said, God is tarrying. God is waiting. God is patient because he wished that no man would perish. Glory be to God. God is tarrying for good reason. And we got to understand, when I'm talking about deliverance tonight and when God is trying to convey to us tonight, sometimes if it's a stronghold, if it's a generational curse, if it's an area that's getting in the way of God, God wants to deliver us from that. But look at Luke chapter number 10, verse number 25. Are you there? Luke chapter number 10, verse number 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? Or how do you read it? How do you understand it? And he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. And he said unto him, you have answered right. This do, and you shall live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Can you imagine a gall in the grit of somebody trying to trip Jesus up? Somebody trying to deceive deity, trying to deceive the divine, the sovereign one. And I can hear Jesus chuckling inside and saying, if you only knew. But he didn't go there. He said, let me just tell you who your neighbor is. There was this good Samaritan, and there was this man who was going, and a thief of robbers robbed him and left him for dead. And the priest walked by him and saw him in the street laying for dead and didn't do anything. The Levite came by. You want to know who your neighbor is? And saw the man laying there in the gutter needing help in a 911 situation. And the Levite walked by. The priest walked by, the religious one. The Levite walked by, the religious one. And then came a good Samaritan. Saw what happened to this man. Put him on his horse, his mule, took him to the hotel, bandaged his wounds, and told the innkeeper, if he runs up a tab, if he runs up a fee, tend to his needs, help him get well, and when I come back through, I'll pay you what he incurred. That is your neighbor, the one that needs your help. Glory be to God. That is your neighbor, the one that you can pray for if you know they're in trouble. That is your neighbor, the one that you can refer or give a reference to or a referral to because you know they are trying. That is your neighbor, the one that you should love unconditionally. Amen, somebody. I tell you, we need deliverance. And this is why, you know, brothers, hear me and hear me good. God know the wife that we need. The Bible says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. And my wife, I tell you, if it wasn't for her, there's some things that would come out of me. And I tell you, she keeps me in check because I have not arrived. I tell you, I have not arrived. I need deliverance too. So I'm talking to myself as I'm talking to you tonight. And sometimes she'll have a conversation with me and she'll discuss it where I see it from another perspective. And certain things I want to say, I won't say. Certain things I want to share, I won't share. There's certain feelings I want to express, I won't express. It's not that, you know, we don't have our independence, but I trust her spirit. Amen, somebody. She is my help me. And sometimes, you know, yes, we are individuals, but man of God, woman of God, we are supposed to be that one flesh. And we're supposed to be growing toward one another and growing in one another. To God be the glory. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become, don't miss that word, become one flesh. So I thank God for my marriage. I thank God for my wife. And I thank God, amen, that God has helped us over the years to become better people in the name of Jesus. So deliverance, number one, we must obey. I got points down here. I'm just moving on along, but I do have some points. If you're taking notes, number one, we got to obey God's voice. Number two, we got to hand our heart over to God. Amen. And the third thing I want to share tonight is that we got to change our mind about this thing called suffering. We need a change perspective on this word, suffering. The Bible says if we don't share in his glory, we have to share in his suffering. Paul writes and he says, our current suffering does not compare to the glory that will be revealed. So in this life, we're going to go through. I'm going to say that again. While we are here on this earth, there are going to be some situations and some circumstances that may bring pain and suffering to our lives. Amen? Go to Psalm 119 and you'll see what I'm trying to convey, what I'm trying to express on this thought when I say we got to change our perspective and our mindset toward the area or the word suffering. Psalm 119. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God will deliver us out of them all. That's the 34th Psalm where he says many are the afflictions of you and I. But Psalm 119, verse number 67, the 119th Psalm, looking at verse number 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept your word. Thou art good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me. But I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in the law of the Lord. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of the mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. The psalmist is writing, and he said it was good. I'm going to take that conflict that I talked about earlier that you and I might face, you know, periodically throughout our life. I'm going to take the things that go wrong. I'm going to take the mistakes I make. Who am I talking to tonight? I'm going to try to allow Romans 8:28 to come to fruition in my life that says all things work together for the good of those that love God and who have been called according to his purpose. I want to be like Joseph and say what people meant for evil, God is going to turn that thing around for my good. So whether it's other people bringing conflict or you bringing conflict on yourself, and as a result there's pain and suffering, God is saying, guess what? That's leading you to me to pray more earnestly. That's leading you to me to get more serious about your faith. That's giving you me, letting you know that without me you can do nothing. You know, I preached that word on Sunday, and even as I listened to it myself, I was blessed by the word that said, the part of the word that said, God is our only hope, God is our only chance, God is our only opportunity to be better than where we are right now, to be stronger than where we are right now. He is our ticket out of poverty. He is our way out of dysfunction. Amen, somebody. He is our way out of drug and alcohol addiction. If you're addicted to gambling or pornography, he is the way out. Amen, beloved. If you have anger and you're like, well, Pastor Anthony, you just don't know. I cannot forgive that person. Maybe you cannot. But with God's deliverance, I guarantee you, God will give you the grace to let it go and let God. So I know the offense may have been great. I know the violation may have brought pain and suffering to your life. But God says, listen to my man of God when he talks about I want to deliver you. He wants to deliver you even from a heart of bitterness and anger. Amen, somebody. Oh, I know what it's like to be angry. You know, this is my second and final marriage. And in my first marriage, I was not saved. And that anger, come on, somebody. We have a past, all of us. God had to deliver me. God had to set me free. I talked to a sibling today, and I thank God. You know, he's talking God. He's talking Bible. He's talking blessings. He's talking scripture. He's talking the word. And this particular sibling of mine was nothing to play with. He just wasn't. He just wasn't the one. But God can change anybody. Amen, somebody. God can give you a heart. My wife liked that scripture where God give you that heart of stone. He give you the heart of flesh. God is the only one that can do that. Amen. God can soften our heart. God can condition us and bring us over to his side. To God be the glory. I pray this is helping somebody tonight. I really pray this is helping somebody tonight because we need deliverance. You know, the body of Christ, we use these terms like church hurt, betrayal. These are real things, dealing with real emotions and dealing with real events. I understand we are in a different day. There are really wolves and sheep clothing out here. He said, let the weeds and let the wheat grow up together. I wish I can spare you from some pain and suffering. I wish I can spare you from some betrayal. I wish I can spare you from people that won't hurt you in the church. But we're just in a unique day, beloved. This is why, can we talk? Can we please talk tonight? This, you know, don't misinterpret me, but this is not the day for the passive, timid believer or Christian. You can walk in love. You can love people. You can be righteous. But we do not have to be that little mousy, timid, being afraid. No, we have to be strong. We have to be bold for God. This is not the day right here. I'm talking to the preacher. I'm talking to the minister. I'm talking to the evangelist, the apostle, the bishop, the parishioner, the member. We are the body of Christ, and God is saying, in these last and evil days, I need you to do all you can do to stand and stand until. Because we fight not against flesh and blood, and we will be amazed. You know, I heard a sermon years ago. Some people say you're going to be surprised who's in heaven and who's not in heaven. I'm going to leave that right there. Let's go to our next point. Acts chapter number 2. I'm almost done, but I just a couple more scriptures I want to highlight. And the reason I try to go through the Bible a lot and not stay in one place, because out of all these verses and chapters, we can bring so much more out of it. That's why I say in your own private devotion and Bible reading time, go back and exegete the scripture. I pray that you invest in a study Bible, one that has the footnotes underneath the parable or the passage, amen, under the chapters, because it would explain the cross-references. It would explain, amen, kind of like a commentary, give you an idea what the Bible is trying to get across to you during that time, during that season, during that moment. What was God or the writer trying to express to us? So invest in a Bible study. Invest in a study Bible, one that has good footnotes and good cliff notes and good commentaries. Amen? Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2. Kurt Franklin got a song out, and that is actually one of his old songs. Imagine me being free, totally. Oh, I love that song. Finally, I can't sing it, but you know, y'all know that song. Kurt Franklin is awesome. We saw him at the King's Theater. Pastor Rebecca won tickets from the radio station, and she, my daughter Kayla, and I went over to King's Theater in New York, and Kurt Franklin did a show, and it was dynamic. And I believe he sang this song, Imagine Me. Imagination is a wonderful thing to have. I'm going to say that again. Imagination. God has given you and I an imagination. If we're not there, we can imagine being there. Amen, somebody. Tamela Mann got a song out, I Can Only Imagine. And the young lady, it's just a beautiful song. I think it won a Stellar Award. I can only imagine what that day would be like when I see Jesus face to face. And there was a young lady on the show The Voice this year who sang that song, I Can Only Imagine. And it just blessed me. But God gives us an imagination. An imagination for good reason. Because if we can see it, we can be it. If we can see it, we can become it. So when God gives us this thing called an imagination, see, the motivational speaker is trying to come out of me right now. I want to go down that road right now and tell you to live your dreams and just go for your goals. Set long and short-term goals and just try to go after your dreams, go after your aspirations. You can achieve and accomplish great things with your life. Amen, somebody. So I thank God that's a part of me to inspire, to encourage. But I want to see this scripture when I talk about, and I want you to write that word imagination down, but I want to put that out front before I read what I want to read. But now go to Acts chapter number 2, verse number 15. Acts 2, verse number 15. You know, this was Pentecost Sunday last Sunday. And it's found right here in Acts chapter number 2, where we get Pentecost Sunday, where the Holy Ghost invaded earth, cloven tongues of fire set on them, the 120 people in the upper room, including the 12 disciples in the name of Jesus, and they begin to speak Koro Oshata. They begin to speak in other tongues, and the people thought they were drunk because they were speaking in their language. But look at verse number 15. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith the Lord God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Pastor Rebecca is a prophet. I thank God. Amen. And I've seen and have been at woman conferences and have seen her preaching abroad, preaching out, and just being blessed how God uses her mightily in the prophetic. But he says in this, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and my sons and my daughters will prophesy. But I don't want to miss the latter part of that. The young men shall see visions, and the old men shall dream dreams. Are you a dreamer? Glory be to God. Do you have a vision of where God is taking you? Glory be to God. I'm going to just put it like this. No vision, no victory. I'm going to say that again. No vision, no victory. Because we got to, you know, the enemy going to do everything in his power to get us to stop, to get us to quit, to get us to retreat. Because what God has planned for us, Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts I think towards you, thoughts of good and not of evil.
Yeah.
We got to hold on to that. If you haven't obtained it yet, if God says, I know the thoughts I think towards you, thoughts of good and not of evil, and you still got sickness in your body, God has good intentions for you. Who am I talking to? If you know you're in poverty and God says, I know the thoughts I think towards you, that means he wants to make us wealthy. You need to stay in the fight. Amen, somebody. I know the thoughts I think towards you. If you're in trouble, God wants you to be living in peace. And he said, I'll satisfy you with long life. We just ought to stay in the ring and stay in the battle. Because if God be for us, who can be against us? So you got to get a vision. You got to get a vision. And, oh, God, how much time I got? Glory be to God. I wanted to go to Revelation chapter number 3, but just write it down, Revelation 3, verse 2 to 8. Revelation 3. 2-8. Matter of fact, we're going to go there. We're going to go to Revelations in a minute. But go to Habakkuk when I'm talking about vision and using our imagination and how we should go after our dreams. You know, Les Brown, one of my favorite motivational speakers along with Zig Ziglar and John Maxwell. But Les Brown wrote a book years ago called Live Your Dreams. And Les Brown has beaten prostate cancer on 3 different occasions. Amen, somebody. And I heard him do a motivational speech, like a 5-minute segment. And he said he was in so much pain due to cancer one day because it returned. He said he was in so much pain he didn't want to get out of the bed. he didn't want to do anything. And he said his kids, like, you know, dad, get up. You know, this is not like you. You know, you're not a woe is me type of person. He said, but he just wanted to quit. He wanted to harbor and nurse the pain. He did not want to get out of bed. And then as he laid there in excruciating pain, he forced himself to get up. He began to practice what he preached. He began to live his dreams again. And he said somehow he got out of the bed, started feeling better. And he went to a couple of engagements he had that day. And as he went to those engagements, he stopped thinking about the pain. He stopped thinking about his condition. He stopped thinking about his state, his status. And Les, no matter what he was going through, he shared with the audience that he was teaching that day. He said, sometimes we have to make our bodies obey. We got to make our bodies obey. And he said the medicine wasn't working. He was just feeling sorry for himself. He was in a woe is me state. And this is one of the greatest motivational speakers ever. And, he had a pity party. But he shook himself loose. And I see him all over the place once again. You cannot stop that man. And I love Les Brown. He has helped me and my wife so much. But when I talk about your dreams and your visions, look at Habakkuk chapter number 2, verse number 1. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer him when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision down and make it plain upon tablets, that he may run that read it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. I'm about to preach. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. You wonder why we calling this the year of the boom? That's the breakthrough we're talking about right there. That's the opportunity we're talking about right there. That's the open door we're talking about right there. That is the manifestation during this 27th season we are talking about. He says, put it down. Write it on paper. Get the vision down. Act like you believe in it. Glory be to God. Act like it's going to come to pass. He said, though it tarry, it shall speak and not lie. That means it's going to happen. I said, I'm about to run. That means it's going to happen. If you're driving, you better pull over and run around your car. That means it's going to happen, beloved. If he said the church is going to be blessed, it's going to be blessed. He said if you're going to get out of poverty, you're going to get out of poverty. He said one day you're going to be pain-free, you are going to be pain-free. If you desire a good godly marriage, you will have that good godly marriage. If you want to do something great for God, greater works will you do than he did, you will do greater works. God, deliver us. From not mixing a word with faith. The Hebrew writer said the only reason it's not going to happen for us if we do not mix the word with faith. That's why I keep showing up. That's why I keep at it. That's why I keep praying. God showed me. He showed me wealth a long time ago. And I'm standing on it. He told me I'm going to be wealthy. And I'm standing on it. He said somebody's going to write a big old check one day. But that ain't the only stream of income he showed me. I love the fact that I'm approaching those retirement years as I approach 30 years at FedEx. And they got a good, thank God, retirement plan, good benefits. And I thank God for that job. That's why I told the church on Sunday, I've been a believer almost 24 years now. Where am I going? He asked the disciples when he said, people got to eat of my blood, drink of my flesh, and they misunderstood him. He said, you going to leave also? They said, where are we going? You have eternal life available. So when I say, God, deliver us from unbelief, deliver us from the sin that keeps getting in the way of our salvation, deliver us from ourselves, whatever area we need deliverance in, God, help us. Lord, I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you for those who have tuned in, those who will listen to the recording. Bless your people, God. Deliver us for real, in Jesus' name, amen. We thank God for you. Please sow a seed this way. Our ministry always has a financial need. We thank God for you in advance, giving to New Creation Christian Ministries, the local church, those of you through the internet. We thank God for you. And if you are in the New Jersey area, we pray you see you on Sunday for our worship time, which starts at 12:30 p.m. There is a word from the Lord there that will bless you. So press your way to church. Push your way to church. Put somebody in your car with you and bring them to church, and we will see you on Sunday. If not, we'll see you on the prayer line next Tuesday. God bless you. Love you. Good night.